Bunkers.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and I'm joined on the phone now by the absolutely gorgeous Bird on a Bike. Hello, Bird.
Well, don't you sound posh?
Do I sound posh? I sound a bit loud.
What's going on?
Oh, I sound a bit loud in my headphones here. I don't know what's going on.
No, you're like in bizradio.co.uk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, well, this wasn't supposed to be like this, was it?
No, you were just supposed to be here, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah, and then Boris stopped you, didn't he?
I dare him.
Yeah.
But I get it. So we adapt and grow. That's all I can say about it. But yeah. How are you? Happy New Year to you.
And to you, my darling. How are you? I'm okay, thanks. I'm hanging in there. How about you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm welcome.
Yeah, well, you're clearly not in Africa yet, are you?
No.
You're supposed to be.
No, we keep putting up the way. Yeah, well, we decided when the last lockdown came that we would see Christmas here, because obviously we're all supposed to be round the pool in Rwanda. But so we stayed here and we said, right, okay, let's do this afterwards. And you could just sense that actually this probably isn't going to go the way we think it is. So we then decided to go, look, we'll go middle to end of January. And this obviously has made you go, okay, well, we'll keep moving forward, we'll remain hopeful, but we might have to adapt, you know, shift, dodge, everything. The same as everybody is. The same as everybody's been in their whole lives, whether they are moving or whether they have just started a new business, or whether they're adapting their business. We're all just... You can't even respond. You have to react.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to this information.
Yeah, and as we've been saying to everybody so far, you know, one of the problems is with the government to come out and go, right, stop... okay, start. Okay, half start, half stop. It's, you know, there's no gaps in between to plan anything.
No.
You know, or to organise anything, or to, you know, unorganise anything. It's, you know, it's all instant, you know, don't do that. Well, hold on a minute. You know, it's not as easy as that. You can't just, you know, here's a classic. They go, work from home. So we send everybody to work from home, and my email server goes down. There's no one in the office to reboot it. So I can't work from home. I've got to go to the office to reboot the email server. It's, you know, just nonsense stuff. Anyway.
But then what would you want? You know, I absolutely agree with you. And I don't think this is my political side, yes or no. I don't know. Because we've never been in these times, have we?
No, true.
But what do we want to happen for us? That's the question. It's like, well, how would you want to be planning? Because I'm sure, for example, I'm sure Boris didn't want to get on the news last night after knowing that the children had gone back to school yesterday for one day.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It doesn't look great on him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, I mean, this is the problem here is that, for me, that... there's no real coherent plan. What they're doing is copying each other, because the same thing's happening right across the Western world. They all lock down at the same time, they all unlock at the same time, they all do the same thing. So they're all just copying each other, and that's a classic bubble.
Yeah.
That's a classic, well, we'll do what you're doing just to be on the safe side to protect our bum. But what we want, to answer your question, what we want is as many people safe and healthy as possible. That's the critical thing. We don't want anybody... I was going to say we don't want anybody dying. You can't stop that, but you know, we don't want excess amounts of death caused by something that is not necessary. If you see what I mean, so we want to keep people healthy, but health comes in a number of different packages, and it isn't just one virus or one disease that causes ill health. There are lots of other issues that cause ill health, and we're going to talk to Penny Williams in a moment from Kenwood Trust about the absolute massive rise in drink and drug addiction during lockdowns. You know, so all those kind of things have to be taken into account, and I don't believe they are being taken into account at the moment. My big thing about this latest lockdown is that as the last three didn't work, why are we doing it again? Now, I'm not smart enough to know what we should be doing, but I know what isn't working. And so far, the lockdowns haven't worked. otherwise we wouldn't be in the situation we're in. So I think we need some different thinking and some different ideas, and make, and to do that you need to talk to different people. If you talk to the same people, you know, you've got a team from Sage and they've been talking to the same people for a year, that hasn't got us anywhere. So why not talk to somebody else? Why not get another set of views on it and see if there's anything we can do? I was reading a really interesting thing earlier, but I don't know if you've seen this, about Japan. Japan reacted totally different to everyone else, and there's been lots of theories about why Japan's death rate from coronavirus is ridiculously small. It's like 18 per 100,000 people. It's the smallest in the world. Yet they didn't test and track anyone. They didn't lock down anyone. They didn't actually do anything. You know, and there's been lots of theories about why it was the way it was. But what I preferred was to read the report from the head of the Japanese equivalent to Sage, which was a virologist in Japan that gave the Japanese government the advice that he gave them. And he gave them a completely different set of criteria for dealing with the coronavirus. My thoughts on it are, it isn't necessarily directly transportable into the UK. Because there's a thing that people have overlooked about why Japan, South Korea, Vietnam, and possibly China, but who knows, have had it less severe than everybody else. And the simple fact is they had a SARS outbreak 3 years ago. So a lot of them are immune.
Their immunity's already built.
So they'd already built the immunity from a previous SARS COVID outbreak, which obviously didn't hit the West, so we're not as immune, which is why our numbers are worse. But my overall point is, why not talk to people from a very different background, but with expertise? You know, it's no good talking to some idiot on Twitter. You know, talk to a different set of experts and get maybe a slightly different view, because what we're doing at the moment is not working, as far as I can see. But there you go. Anyway, that's my views on it.
Yeah, and just for example, you know, I think and the emotion then that causes for people and how they deal with their emotions is something that we can take control of for ourselves.
Yeah.
We can do simple things. I was just on doing a client call this morning and he beside himself. And I just said, it's really simple. I want you to go out and walk every day. And if people don't want to hear that, it's so simple.
Yeah.
I know you all think, oh, here she goes again. But even if it just changes your energy, it just changes your, it doesn't change the problem. I can't help with any of that. But what I can do is say to you, that just go and do it. Even a 5 minute walk, I'd rather you do that.
Yeah.
Than nothing at all.
Do you know, it's really funny. It's really funny. You're absolutely right. The other night I went to put the bins out. Okay.
Yeah.
And it was blooming freezing. It was, you know, it was icy rain and all the rest of it. And I went up to the top of my drive to put the bins out. And I thought, and I suddenly thought, blimey, that's blown the cobwebs away.
Yeah.
And I suddenly realised I hadn't been out of the, I literally physically hadn't walked into the outside for 6 days.
Here's the thing, that you would have looked at the weather from inside.
Yeah.
And it's not the same when you go outside. It's so simple and it's nothing new, and I can't give you rocket science. But what I can do is you ignore what you perceive the weather to be like inside.
Yep.
I don't even care if you dress inappropriately. You know, yesterday, really, all you want to do is go outside and just let the rain and wind just get everything off you.
Were you watching me? Dressed inappropriately.
No,
I was wearing my Mrs. Kimono. Oh, no, that would be jolly. No.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? It's just simple things of, actually, you can just get hold of those emotions if they're just getting a little bit out of control.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't help you with getting, you know, made redundant. I can't help all of those things, because I think we're yet to see actually the devastation of what's going to, I really do think that, and that's not being hopeless, I just think that's being realistic in, you and I know what's going to happen in this domino effect.
Yeah, sure.
When you shut business down.
Yeah, no, absolutely, I couldn't agree more, and it's partly the same thing that we've been talking about all the way through this, which is being locked in bubbles, isn't it? Which is just seeing things from a point of view that's the same.
Exactly.
And it's one of the problems with social media as well, because, you know, everybody every day, you have got nothing better to do, get up and go on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and see the same thing over and over again. You know, either, you know, it doesn't matter which side of the camp you're on, you know, either you know, there's a lot of COVIDiots about people that are still going out or whatever when they shouldn't do, and it's them that's causing the problem. Or is it the other group of people that are saying, look, you know, this is all a government scam and it's not as bad as you think it is and yada, yada, yada. So, you know, people are looking at these things and getting locked in their bubble and getting wound up by it. And what you've got to do is break the cycle of that. And so, as you say, if you just go outside and go for a walk, you've immediately broken the cycle of something you were doing.
Exactly. And you can't tell me you haven't got time.
Yeah.
You know, even just simple, like, if I've even got some, my clients change my energy. You, just getting on the phone to you, I'm so disappointed I didn't come in today, because it's like, oh my God, I so wanted to come in, and it just gives you that energy. So I do feel that this isolation, although needed for what is being said to us, the side effects of that are exponential at the minute. That human connection, that, you know, it's the longest study we've ever had of research, and we know the main reason for happiness, the only thing, is human connection.
Mm-hmm.
And you are denying that. That is being denied. And I think that is where that then you become out of control. You're calm. You know, the anxiety is raising.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway. Right. I want to talk about something else now.
Go on.
I want to talk about your book.
Oh yeah, so cool.
How's it going? But remind the listeners what it is.
Okay, so in December, I had a book come out called Seeking the Wisdom of the 50-Year-Old Woman. It's the first book in a 5-part series. I'm literally just writing the second one now, which is so interesting, and again changes my energy.
Which one are you writing now, Bird?
I'm writing a 20-year-old one.
Right.
So totally different.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked. I'm always shocked that when I hear what women are saying about what they believe to be true. Not because I didn't think that. It's just like, wow, that, you know, and that reflection back into self again. So the book is based on 21 poignant questions. They're deep, they're meaningful, they hurt. We're not being pink and fluffy and all of this. And I asked 10 women, this is not a research paper, this is not qualitative or quantitative research, this is a conversational style, 2-hour interview that I have with each woman. And they come to me, I don't know what socioeconomic group are, I don't know their backgrounds. What they have to have criteria is that they are a woman, and they are in that decade that I am writing in.
Sure.
Bear that, then it really is irrelevant to me.
Right.
And so then I collate all the answers, and I write it down verbatim, and then I write the book around their answers. It's really interesting. I've had loads of feedback. Some people read it and say, oh my God, I want more of you in it. But that's when I'm going to bring it all together, and then I'm going to share what I believe that I've learned from all of this. Then I've got other people going, oh, all I read is you in it. So it's very interesting feedback. And I don't know what you believe in feedback to be, but I'm listening. I'm open to the feedback. But I also don't want it to skew me or push me off the direction that I was naturally going, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I'm quietly smiling here. As you know, I bought my partner Amanda a copy of the book as one of her Christmas presents.
Yeah.
And she will kill me for this. She said, "All right." She said, "I'll read that in 6 years' time."
Oh.
And I went, "What?" And I said, yes, you know, I'm not 50 for another 6 years, so I'll reach the wisdom of a 50-year-old woman in 6 years' time.
Yeah, but it's not for that, because it's for everybody to read. It's for you to go, wow, I didn't know 50-year-olds. I didn't realise 20-year-olds feel this. So I'm not doing it to cover your bases, because I want you as the woman you are today, or the man, by the way, because it's very interesting. I've had so many people message me saying my partner's read it before me. And it is written, obviously, by myself, who's a female, and it's written about women. But actually, it's very interesting. Men are going to, are reading it. But here's the thing, and I got this ages ago. Stephen said to me, you need to ask these questions to men, because I wonder if they would answer in a different way. And he's absolutely right. So when I've done this whole series, which will be in 2 years' time, then I'm going to do a series for men as well.
I think that's going to be really, really, really interesting to see the difference in those things. And it's going to be a fascinating study. I mean, I love the books anyway. As you know, you kindly gave me a pre-production copy of the book.
Yeah.
And I started to read it, and then somebody stole it because I left it in the studio. And they did. They actually stole the book. So I never finished reading it the first time. So I'm reading it the second time now because I've nicked Amanda's copy.
Because she's not ready to read it yet.
I think she was having a dick at me, if I'm really honest there. Because I think she is reading it. But I think that was a dig just at me. But
it's very interesting writing books. And I'm speaking to my publisher, and we were saying about, has her business boomed? Because I thought, actually, people always say they don't have enough time to write books. So actually now you're forced into a space that actually if you have got time, now you can do it. But she hasn't noticed an uplift in writers at all.
Right, okay. That's interesting.
I know, it's fascinating. And I had a client today say to me, you know, I want to start writing a book, I want to write my business knowledge down. And I said to him two things. I said, right, well, for me, I've always got my titles. Now, lots of people will tell you, don't start with a title, don't get caught up with it. I've got titles all the, you know, galore, blah, blah. For me, I always look at chapters and think how I read a book. I like to read short chapters. I like to think I'm getting somewhere with them. So I said to him, look, what do you want in the book? And who is the book for? And it's a really good way of writing. Is who am I writing this for? Is it for myself, therefore it's more autobiographical? Is it for an avatar? Is it for somebody who, is it for a client that has got all these problems and you keep telling them verbally, but they're just not hearing you? So a different medium of communication would sometimes come across. So, you know, if you, everybody says to me, oh, I've got a book in me, I just haven't got the time. Well, maybe now we'll give you a little bit of time, the gift of time, or at least the gift of immobility, then let's say that way.
Yeah.
Then maybe start to think, what would I write about and who would I write it to and how many chapters should I put in the book and what would each chapter contain, and start to plan, because actually, if the more planning you do, I wouldn't say easier, the less painful the pathway is to get out of you onto a page.
Sure.
What did you write about?
Nothing.
You're a big reader.
I'm a fanatical reader. I read dozens and dozens of books a month. I have never, ever in my life wanted to write. Many years ago, 25 years ago, I used to write a column for a magazine, a monthly magazine, and it was the most painful thing I ever did. And all I had to write was 2,000 words once a month, and on a subject which I knew very well. It was an IT magazine, and I just found it horrendous. I'm just not a writer. I'm a talker, not a writer. I'm a storyteller verbally, not in writing. If I'm asked to write anything down, you know, people say to me, well, you should write in the way that you speak, but that would be gobbledygook. I speak rubbish, me. You know, I'm just not a writer. I'm just not. The process is, I find it incredibly painful.
Well, it's long for start. And when people, you know, say to me, how much money do you make from writing? Yeah, I don't find many writers, and it's very interesting, I don't find them put out their time, that so I allocate my time. I know exactly how many hours it takes me to write X amount of words, and then by editing it, then by, so I've actually calculated how much a book costs me, so that when it comes, so it's no different to building a product. Yeah. You know, I'm building a product, that book is now up for sale, we have a sales team, and I'm literally, you know, getting everywhere in with it and trying to sell to multiples rather than one-to-one. I love selling one-to-one. If you want to buy a book, by the way, go on to beautifulbravebody.com, go in and buy it through that way, and you'll get a signed copy, and I'll wrap it up beautifully, and it's sent you direct.
Fantastic.
And I just think that's a really nice way of touch feel to the product as well. So beautifulbravebody.com, it's really simple and easy. Within two clicks, you have bought the book, which is super important, because the minute I noticed that people needed three clicks to buy something, it went, so we really scaled it down. But, you know, people don't allocate their time into how much that book costs. It's so fascinating to me, and yet it's no different to any product.
Yeah. Absolutely. Look, Bert, it's been lovely to talk to you. It would have been better to see you in the studio, but I know you couldn't be here. But so thank you for giving us the time on the phone. Lovely to talk to you. Give us a shout for the website again where people can go and buy their signed copy of your book, which is fabulous, by the way.
Thank you. Beautifulbravebody.com.
Fantastic. Bert, stay safe. Stay happy. Hopefully we'll see you at some point in the not-too-distant future back in the studio before you depart overseas.
Yeah, I want to come in because I love it. I love it. So I'm desperate to come in and do our usual 2 hours of nonsense
and mayhem.
Ping-pong.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my darling, take care.
Keep going, and thank you as well, Paul. Thank you for still going into that studio and doing this radio show, because I know it just gives people routine. So thank you.
No, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. And thank you. We'll see you soon, Bert. Take
all
care.
Right,
yeah. Bye. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah. And to you.
Bye now. Bye. The lovely Sarah Ann Lucas there. Bert on a bike. Brave, beautiful body is her website. The Wisdom of the 50-Year-Old Woman is a book. Do check it out and get yourself a copy of it. It's a fascinating book, and it's going to be a fascinating series. I'd like to say a business bunker, big shout out. We're pleased to be sponsored by Spinnerjet, the facilities management company. They're a commercial cleaning, grounds maintenance, jet washing, and much, much more company. You can find them by following them on the Twitter at Spinnerjet, or if you want to know more, you can email them at info@spinnerjet.co.uk. So do check them out. We've got lots of things to cover. I've got another guest we're going to hear from in a moment. We've got loads and loads of tweets coming in again now. Jules is sending me pictures of chocolate for some reason. Tracy Ferguson has got wet socks from puddle jumping. I don't know what Jules is going on about. She's going on about something. I don't know. She's sending me links, but I don't know what she's talking about because she's talking to somebody else. Anyway, enough of all of that. I think it's probably about time that we heard from our next guest, Penny Williams, who's the chief executive of the Kenwood Trust over there in Yalding on the outskirts of Maidstone. Let's hear from Penny. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show Penny Williams, Chief Executive of the Kenwood Trust. Penny, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show. I hope you had a nice Christmas.
Thank you for having me on, Paul. Yes, quiet like everyone else, I guess.
Yeah.
But
sure, yeah.
Nice to get off the roundabout for a while.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's interesting because a lot of us haven't actually been doing a huge amount of work because we're furloughed and locked in and at home. But you have probably had one of the busiest years ever at Kenwood Trust with so many things to do. Why don't you start off, Penny, by telling those few listeners that don't know about the Trust, give us an overview of what the Trust is and what it's about.
Yeah, it's been really busy, Paul. Actually, it's probably the first year I've never had a holiday. We've worked through, and my team have been amazing, but I'll come back to that. So Kenwood Trust is a charity based in Yalding. We've been operating as a charity for 53 years now, saving lives, helping people with addiction, primarily with a residential setting, offering sort of a 5 to 12 week program that helps people sort of reset their relationship with alcohol and drugs, helps them overcome those addictions and those feelings, giving them support mechanisms going forwards. And then we have a set of move on houses where some will stay with us for another year or so, living with other people that have suffered, and they support each other and help each other back into the community. Then we also have a youth project. We've done a lot of work in the last year with schools, and we've created now three videos that are lesson plans, which we've worked with two families who've sadly lost their teenagers to drugs. Right. And it's a growing issue, and we feel very passionate about trying to educate young people to understand the risks. Actually, we don't tell them no, we yep. just ask them to think about their choices and yeah. to think differently.
I think that's a really shrewd thing. All of us that have had kids, if you tell them no, they'll immediately go and do it. Yeah, so to some degree you have to tell them the opposite, but I think that's the crucial thing, isn't it, is understanding the risks, because a lot of young people, well, a lot of older people as well, don't really understand the risks of anything they're doing, like too much alcohol consumption, smoking, drugs, and anything else that has a potential detrimental effect on your health, which anything does if you do it to excess. So I get it.
Yeah, I think for kids as well, it's that, you know, both families who've been terribly brave working with us and telling their story, I think a lot of young people can relate to, you know, how their mum's going to feel if something goes wrong. And in both cases, it was experimenting with things that they didn't know what was in them. And I think that's the challenge. It's not necessarily about addiction when they're young. It's about taking things that you have no idea what you're taking.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, a lot of it comes with peer pressure, doesn't it, when you're taking this? And if you've got no balance to that peer pressure, then you tend to go with it. If Jimmy says it's okay, I'll do it. But I get that. So thank you for that, Penny. Thank you for the overview of that. I just want to, just before we get into the meat of what we want to talk about, I want to talk about some of the other things at Kenwood that people may or may not know about, because it is actually a place that, under normal circumstances, is open to the public.
That's right. Yes. We 3 years ago, we opened our cafe and our conference centre, offering, I mean, we're set in 15 acres, so it's absolutely beautiful.
It's a gorgeous, gorgeous place, isn't it?
Yeah, 15 minutes out of Maidstone, so it's a great place to visit with your family, run around, have a coffee and something to eat in the cafe, and the conference centre again, a great place to have and hold meetings. But sadly, yes, all been closed since March 22nd or 23rd. We're hoping to get back to some of that next year. Certainly we've continued with our alpaca walks, which have been hugely popular, getting out, you know, COVID safe, distance safe. And we've sold quite a few Christmas vouchers this year, so hoping to see a lot of new people at Kenwood next year. And don't forget, everything raises money for the charity.
Absolutely, and that's one of the sad things about where we are. It's probably been your busiest year, but you've had, you know, reduced income for the charity because you can't open and you can't offer services that you would normally do that would raise funds to keep the charity going. So it's kind of a cleft stick that you have. I have to say, I'm also a fan of the frisbee golf that you have.
Yes, well, we want to try and encourage businesses to come and use that next year, the frisbee golf, and this year, I keep forgetting we're in 2021 now, also we have archery on site, so again, it's a good way to bring teams back together when teams have been working remotely at home, and obviously that's probably going to continue. I'm hoping that some of what we can now offer in terms of a meeting room, conference facilities and activities will really meet the mark for this year as people want to bring their teams back together.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a beautiful, serene, lovely place in which to do it. It just has an atmosphere, an atmosphere of quiet and mindfulness, I guess is the best way of describing it. Yeah. Okay. So that's Kenwood Trust at Yalding. Let's move on to kind of the downside of where we are and why you're so busy, which... unlike the rest of us who would love to be busy, I guess you don't really want to be busy for the simple reason that that means that you're seeing far more people that have issues that you need to help them with.
Yeah, very much so. And as you say, it's a rock and a hard place, really, because as a charity, we a bit like the care sector, actually, generally, we've not been able to raise our prices to the limit of actually what we provide. The funding is just not there, so constantly, as soon as we have more people in, actually our deficit is greater because we don't charge what we need to charge to cover our costs, and we rely on donations and grants and the other activities to raise the income that we need. And yes, very sad. I mean, we've seen, funnily enough, before the pandemic there was a greater increase in people presenting at A&E with alcohol issues anyway. Right. So this problem has been growing, and like in other businesses, actually, the pandemic has accelerated change. So it's accelerated how people are shopping, etc. But in our sector, it's accelerated some of the problems that were already there. Some recent research, you know, 9 out of 10 employees are admitting that working from home means they're actually drinking more. They're drinking at lunchtime. They're drinking up to a bottle a day. They're drinking, more business leaders as well are drinking more to cope with the situation they're in. And that's what we often find, that we call it self-medication, that people will often turn to alcohol to get away from the pressures or the worries that they have. And currently, the pandemic has caused a huge amount of pressure and worry that you're going to lose your job, that you've been working from home, you've not been socializing, and that does have an effect on mental health, which has been well publicized as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And of course, if you're on your own, or you know, just with kind of close family, you might not realize just how much you're consuming.
Yes,
you know, because there's no one else there to go, hold on a minute, you're squiffy or whatever. And I saw, funny enough, just half an hour or so ago on Twitter, Kent Police put out, you know, they put tweets out of things they've done. They arrested a woman this morning on her way to work for being drunk and disorderly at 9 o'clock this morning.
No.
And she, when they said, what are you doing? She's not going to work. And then she started to try and fight them and spat at them and all kinds of horrible things, and they arrested her. But again, you know, I think people probably, because, you know, they're stuck at home with no reference around what they're doing, they might not even realise how bad it's getting for them.
Yeah, very much so. And I think that, you know, what we're seeing is family members are starting to realise perhaps how much someone is drinking. We've had quite a few calls from family members. I mean, we support a lot of people that are looking for help and guidance on how to support a loved one or a friend even. The problem is that people have got to recognise that they have a problem, and they've got to want to do something about it. We can't really change that. They have to want to change and recognize that they're drinking too much, for example.
Absolutely. It's a bit like you were saying with your young people's program. You've got to get people to understand the risks that they're taking and what they're doing, and how, even if they think they're okay at the moment, that could lead on a path that they may not want to go down.
Absolutely. And that sort of leads us into, again, reacting to change. So we've developed a day service to help people have some counselling for those that have just sort of started to potentially drink too much. And out of that, and indeed the schools work that we've done, we've looked at producing a program now for businesses that if HR managers, business owners want some advice, want us to come and talk to managers about what to look for, how to signpost, how to support, and even then offering counselling, that's a sort of new service that we're developing as a result of the pandemic. You know, not only are we seeing more people coming into rehab, but we're seeing more need for the day service and now support to businesses, because it's definitely a problem that has grown, that whilst businesses are aware, they've not necessarily had to deal with it in the same sort of numbers that they're having to deal with it now.
Absolutely. I'm smiling because I have a funny story about that. Over 30 years ago, when I had a proper job working in corporate as a senior manager, we went on on one of these off-site training courses, and it was leading people for senior managers was the course, okay, and a lot of it was filmed, and they had actors and all kinds of things playing roles, and one of the scenarios that we were given to deal with is talking to a member of staff that we felt had an alcohol problem. Interestingly. And I smiled because we all got to watch the replays of the way that various people handled it, you know, and most of us from the UK were sitting there going, are you okay? You know, we're hedging around what we thought the problem was and trying to get them to tell us, without saying anything.
Yeah.
But there was a guy from Johannesburg, and in the role play, the actor playing the member of staff walked into the room and went to sit down, and he went, I don't know why you're thinking of sitting down. He said, because you're not going anywhere, because you're a drunk, you're sacked, get out.
Oh, my God.
Now, luckily, it was a role play. But I think the serious point of that is, and coming back to what you just said, especially with small businesses, we're not counsellors. We're not psychotherapists. No. We're plumbers or electricians or hairdressers or whatever. And we might see this, but we just don't know what to do about it. We don't know how to handle it. And out of fear, one of the things that a lot of business owners, business managers will do is just ignore it and hope it goes away. Which of course it won't. So I like what you're saying about giving people some tools to help them cope with it, because it really is important. As a business owner, you have responsibility for the people that are working for you whilst they're at work. Yeah. And, you know, if someone has a problem with drink or drugs, or any kind of thing could happen. They could fall into some machinery, they could make mistakes, they could do all kinds of stuff, as well as just caring for them as an individual.
So, well, you have health and safety legal requirements to ensure that someone has the correct working space, their computer is at a certain level, their chair, all these things. And I guarantee most businesses aren't doing that. But also that includes people's mental health, because they've got a change of situation. You're just as responsible for how they are, whether it's mentally or physically.
Now, I want to put a scenario to you and kind of step through this, and I might get it wrong, but if someone feels that they have a problem with alcohol or drugs, and they recognise they'd like to do something about it, what's the process that they go through? So let's assume they're going to self-fund, We've all heard of celebs that go to the Priory to recover. You offer the same kind of service without the same kind of costs, luckily.
Absolutely,
So if somebody wanted to fund, they don't want to talk to anybody, they don't want to go to the authorities, they just want some help, what's the process they go through? Step me through what they do.
Well, literally give us a call. You'll meet one of our therapeutic managers who on Zoom, if you don't want to do it face to face, which is totally understandable just at the moment, and we'll assess where you're at and then recommend a program that would include some counseling, potentially some group work, that would help you identify why you've started to do that, then help with discovering how to overcome triggering situations, what's producing the grab for the bottle all the time, and put together a plan that then helps your recovery.
Okay, cool.
It depends how, you know, it depends the situation, really.
Yeah,
everyone
of
is different.
Of course.
You know, sometimes people decide they do want to, as I mentioned earlier, get off the roundabout for 4 or 5 weeks and come into residential support, because it does get you, you know, I often liken it to sort of rebooting your computer. You're rebooting your relationship with alcohol by stepping back and identifying how that started, what the issues are inside that's leading you to escape through alcohol.
Absolutely. It's like giving up all kinds of things, isn't it? All kinds of addictive things like smoking or anything else. There are trigger points that make you do it, and you do things unconsciously. Yeah. You know, you quite often find yourself, when I smoked, I quite often found myself with two cigarettes. Yeah, because you just weren't paying attention, and you went, "Oh, I light a fag," and you already have one in the other hand, and you know, so those kind of trigger points are.
Yeah, it's breaking those habits as well. I mean, that what you're describing is become a habit.
Yeah.
And you know, we often say you've moved into becoming an alcoholic really when your life revolves around your next drink rather than your drinking revolving around your life. And so that woman that you referred to earlier, you know, drinking first thing in the morning, that's not normal. That's not the way to look after yourself and have a healthy life.
Absolutely. I don't know if you saw it, but Anthony Hopkins, the Welsh actor, put out a video yesterday morning celebrating 45 years of sobriety.
Oh no, I missed that.
You can find it on Twitter.
Fantastic.
Yeah, find it on Twitter, Anthony Hopkins. It's a lovely little video. He's not pushing anyone, he's not sending a message. He was just saying how thankful he is that 45 years ago he stepped away from alcohol, and how his life has been lovely since then. And it's just a nice message, and it's a message from the heart about someone that had a problem, found the courage to do something about it, and has maintained that. A lovely message. So that's the process. If people want help, they can just call you and just talk to you. And get some kind of idea of what they might do. Can you know, I mean, I can imagine quite a few people are reticent to, you know, they may feel that they've got a problem, they may be reticent to come and actually book themselves in and do something. Can you give them any pointers into how they might start to manage their life themselves?
I mean, people are sometimes reluctant, and that's why we often talk to people for, you know, quite a while before they actually reach out and work with us. I think in terms of self-help, it depends, I suppose, how ingrained it is, whether it's something that is becoming a habit, it's something that you're working your life around. It's about finding those other things that you can do to break the chain, to break that habit. You know, we've all been encouraged to spend more time outdoors, walking, getting fit on your own, of course. I mean, I suppose that's initially, that's the only sort of advice I can give, because everyone's different. Everyone's got different issues. And talking, you know, actually talking to your family, talking to your GP, talking to anyone is going to help that journey to recovery, or to reduce what you're currently drinking.
Absolutely. And one of the many things I like about Kenwood Trust and what you do is it is definitely one-to-one. Yeah, you don't have a catch-all program that says just do this and this and this. You actually deal with each individual as an individual and look at their issues as an individual.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we, as I said, we're based in 15 acres. It's very exclusive. If someone wanted to not, you know, don't want anyone to know, yeah. we are able to look after your privacy as well.
I can vouch for that. I've been a trustee of the charity for about a year or so now.
I think it's 2 years, actually.
Oh, is it 2 years? Yeah, yeah. Probably is 2 years. Yeah. When you're having fun, time goes quickly. And and I've spent a lot of time before the lockdown actually at Kenwood. And I've never met an inmate. I've never met any of the clients because they don't have to. They don't need to. They don't have to. And they have their own privacy in their own areas. So I absolutely... I get what you're saying about that. There's no need to broadcast that you're even there or for anyone to accidentally bump into you or anything else. It is a very safe environment.
Yeah, no, it really is. And we've done a lot of work to improve some of the facilities. We'll be opening a new gym in January for residents to use. So yes, it's a beautiful place, and I think it's got its own well-being feel about the place as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely it has. Absolutely it has. If people want to find out more about the work of Kenwood, either from a point of view of maybe needing to use your services, or maybe people, if you want to send loads of money or anything, what's the best way to do that? Is that via the website?
It is, yeah, which is kenwoodtrust.org.uk. And in January, it's Dry January. So I'd love to encourage everyone to go dry for the whole month and potentially donate what they would have spent on alcohol to the charity, which you can do through the website, or encourage other people to do the same. You know, we are desperate for donations, just like every charity is, and January is a really good month to reset your relationship with alcohol.
Absolutely. For those that don't know, it's Kenwood, is k-e-n-w-a-r-d, Kenwood. Kenwood Trust.
It is indeed. We had a wonderful check sent to us in December, but they did spell it Kenwood.
Kenwood. Yeah.
Which was, we had to phone them up and say, oh, would you mind just rewriting it, please?
And adding an extra naught.
Yes, that would be nice.
Although it was quite a big check anyway, wasn't it?
It was indeed, yes. Yeah, that was a wonderful Christmas present for us.
Yeah, lovely. So please support the Kenwood Trust. Please donate if you can. As Penny said, if you do participate in Dry January, at least share some of your ill-gotten gains and savings with the Trust. They would much appreciate it.
We really would.
Just before you go, Penny, I want to talk in other business, because you're a woman of many parts and you do
several
lots
hats,
of different.
I like to
Yeah. You're incredibly talented, and it's very true. And I know that you're normally also involved in the Leeds Castle concert.
I am indeed, yes. And
yeah, so
mate, postpone it last year.
Yeah. Sadly, maybe just give us a quick update on how you see things. Is there any plans for it?
Yes, very much so. I mean, taking the lead from people like Glastonbury and others, we very much pushed forward in December, saying that we were planning to go ahead. Leeds Castle, as you know, is vast. I think they've got 350 acres.
Yeah.
I can't remember now. So the area that we normally do the concert allows a lot of space where we can space the audiences out. We've got various ideas of how to go ahead with a concert if things haven't settled down by July the 10th. With the vaccines now online, we're very hopeful that things can sort of go normally, but if not, we've got quite a few ideas. So yes, the concert is going ahead next year on the 10th of July. Tickets are still on sale. Thank you to all our customers who rolled over their tickets, and it's very much appreciated. Yeah. And I think by next summer we'll all be desperate to get out and do something.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's fun, that's outdoors. I believe the concerts are very, very safe anyway, because you are spaced out, but
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's great. Penny, thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to join us on the Business Bunker Show. It's pleasure. Always appreciated. Keep on doing what you're doing. You're doing a fantastic job at the Kenwood Trust, and we love what you're doing. Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you, Paul.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
And that was Penny Williams there of the Kenwood Trust talking about the fantastic work that they do there. We've had loads of tweets in about that. I will try to follow up on Twitter, but we're almost at the end of the show, and I've got some other things that I need to cover before we finish for today. But what a fantastic interview, and the work that they do is unbelievable. So do try and support them if you can. I've had a tweet from Women in Business Medway. That's their Twitter handle, Women in Business Medway and North Kent. And they say, Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, thanks for all the Kent business news and more. Can we have a shout out for all our lovely members and remind them that we have a Zoom meeting tomorrow evening, Wednesday evening, for the Women in Business and Medway and North Kent. I'm having trouble with Zoom at the moment. My headphones are packed up. If anybody knows how to fix that, you could let me know. But great. What we're going to do now is the FSB News Roundup.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
We're back. The school's 30-30 programme is back, but it's virtual. Businesses can join us to inspire the next generation of talent. The next events will be taking place at Longfield Academy on the 20th of January at 10 past 11am. And the one after that is at the Lee Academy on the 22nd of January at 10:30. You can find all the details and book your space by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30. So that's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30. All the other things I'm going to give you have one link, so I'll read the link out at the end. How to get control of your cash in 2021, hear from accounting experts as well as a manufacturing business owner who's had quite the journey through 2020 about how best to get control of your cash in 2021. That's taking place at lunchtime, 12 noon to 1 p.m. on the 21st of January. There's the FSB Maidstone Virtual Networking, Wednesday the 27th of January, 4 to 5pm. Join Peter Searle for relaxed networking with like-minded business owners, and everyone is welcome. There's the FSB Women in Business Brunch on Thursday the 28th of January, 9:30am to 10:30. Join us for virtual networking hosted by FSB Folkestone area host Wendy Flanagan of The Holistic Home. Promote your business and meet fellow entrepreneurs in breakout rooms. There's the Business Boot Camp Reboot 2021 taking place on Monday the 25th of January at 9:30 till 1. This event is designed to benefit entrepreneurs, the self-employed and small businesses across the UK. And then there's a Women in Business Brunch on Tuesday the 9th of February, 11am to 12pm. Join us for virtual networking hosted by FSB North Kent area host Sue Hainsby of Carlene Lettings. Promote your business and meet fellow entrepreneurs in breakout rooms. All of those FSB events and webinars can be found in one place, which is kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. You can find the details to all of those events and booking links for all of them. We're basically at the end of another show. I've still got tweets coming in. I've still got dozens of emails to read. Sorry that I haven't covered that. There's loads of tweets going on about Penny's interview and about Bird's interview, so do check follow them up on Twitter.
If you look at my timeline, Vanilla Web, you'll see all the activities. I just need to tell you about something that's happening fairly shortly. We've got a new show launching this Friday here on Channel Radio. It's the Mindset Matters show with Zeenat Nirani. It's going to be on 11 o'clock on Friday morning. Do tune in and listen to Zeenat talking about all things mental health, mindfulness, happiness and wellness. So do check that out. Mindset Matters with Zeenat Nirani, 11 o'clock here on channelradio.co.uk. But that's it for another week. We'll be back next week with another show. Stay safe, everybody, and we'll see you soon.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.